Be strong and of good courage, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has shown to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. We stand and sing together hymn number 417, stanzas 1 and 2. Responsively, selection number 40. Selection 40, entitled Service. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, Lord and Master, for I have given you an example, and ye should do as I have done to you.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him.
If a brother or sister be naked, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled,
notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?
Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye so to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of household faith.
And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Let us pray together. Father, we sing to thee and pray to thee For thou hast put a song of praise in our lives, and a prayer of thanksgiving on our lips. We praise thee for thy glory and thy victory. We thank thee for Christ, who has shown us thy glory and given us a victory. We praise thee for thy strength and thy power. We thank thee for Christ, who has made us strong and given us a new kind of power. We praise thee, for thou art our salvation, and we thank thee for Christ, who saved us even from ourselves. And now show us thy glory. Speak to us thy word for today. Guide us in our weakness to seek thy strength. Move us in our sin to accept thy forgiveness. Bless us in our worship to know thy will. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you. God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And I believe this includes those who have been pushed aside, as it were, and who now reside in the rest homes in Wake Forest. Recently, while conducting a devotional service in Rogers Rest Home on North Main Street, where I have been going for some 2 years, I made a statement in this devotion that all things are possible with God. After I had finished this devotion, a lady motioned me over to her wheelchair and said, "Preacher, you say that all things are possible with God. I have been praying for 7 years every day that God would let me walk again. I've been sitting in this wheelchair for 7 long years. I've asked God all the time, why not me walk again? Why won't he let me walk again? Can you answer this for me?" I found out that I didn't have much of an answer for this lady. Tears began to roll down her cheeks. And she said, "Will you pray for me? Will you remember me in your prayers at home?" I walked away from this lady in the wheelchair and went into the back of the rest home, where many of the older folk are back there in the beds. They cannot walk and come up front to the services. And there a lady, some 88 years of age, told me this story. She said, "Preacher, when I was 33 years of age and my husband 35, and he being a very successful medical doctor, he passed away at the age of 35. We had only one child, a daughter, and she died at a very early age." Then she said, "I don't know why God lets me live. There's nothing more for me to expect from life. I've been lying here in this same bed, in the same position, flat of my back, for 3 years. Why do you suppose God doesn't call me home?" Both of these ladies and many more showed discouragement as they talked to me. Can we, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, offer them any comfort or consolation? There are many good people in town who would give a dollar, or maybe $5, or even $10 to help these elderly people in their distress. But this is not what they need, neither is this what they desire. What they really want is to hear the sound of your voice. They want to see the twinkle and the sparkle in your eye. And they want to feel the warmth of your hand as you extend to them the right hand of Christian fellowship. If you believe that God would have all men and women of all ages to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth, then join us in this work as we minister to the aging here in the rest homes in Wake Forest. We have services at the Colonial Guest Home on North Main Street every Friday night at 7:30. And the last Monday night of each month at Rogers Rest Home at 7 o'clock on Monday night. If you'd like to join us in this work, then see Miss Lida Henderson and make an appointment to be with us. We'd love to have you.
Of course, one of the main purposes for our being here at the seminary is to be preparing for a richer and fuller service in the future. But at the same time, we need to remember that we should be taking advantage of opportunities to serve while we're here. And one of the means through which we can serve, as it has already been mentioned, is through the rest homes. The times that I have visited the Wake Forest Rest Home have been times of wonderful experiences for me, times of great inspiration, even though we were the ones that were supposed to be inspiring them. The general procedure that we follow in the rest home as we go each Thursday night at 7 o'clock is to sing two or three hymns first, and then to have one of the students or professors from the seminary to bring a brief devotional message. And then the most important time for both of us, both groups of us, is the time when we can all get acquainted with one another and become friends. These people here in the rest home really bring joy to our hearts as they are so appreciative of each little thing that we do for them. And their Christian faith seems to be expressed to us through their optimism. Some of them, even though confined to wheelchairs and beds, are very bright in their outlook on life, and they have wonderful senses of humor. One especially that I'm thinking of listens from her room each time that we gather in the large room, because her room is located nearby, and she cannot come to join with us because she is confined to her bed. But yet, when we go back and visit her after the devotional is over, she is always very inspiring and is always has some bright remarks to make to us or comments on what the devotional message was for the evening. So you can see that really these people are as much a blessing to us as we are to them. They are very appreciative of each thing that we try to do for them, and they make suggestions to us each time. They're very helpful to tell us what scripture passages they like best so that devotional thoughts could be built around these passages. And they mention hymns that they like to sing. And they even tell us sometimes who they would like to speak for them. And of course, my purpose for telling you this morning is to urge each of you or any of you that could go with us each Thursday evening. We leave from Johnson Dormitory each Thursday night. And if you could go, but for no other reason than to just go to get acquainted and become friends with these ladies, this would mean much to them. You would be surprised what a blessing would come into your own life.
You cannot help but be struck with the unrestrained and non-discriminating friendship of the residents at Murdoch Center in Butner, North Carolina. To be greeted in a typical way by a neat, aggressive 10-year-old bounding out to meet you as you drive up can be striking. And as he says, as you come up in the same breath, "Hey, Bob, what'd you bring me today?" You must be struck again by the depth of meaning, unintended, sure, but the depth of meaning in what he said. And each of us must ask ourselves, just what did we bring? Did I bring my abilities? Did I bring my love? Did I bring my service in Christ? We must realize that here is a service that we can perform. This is something that we as Christians and as theological students can do to manifest the love of Christ. After an opening assembly very similar to Sunday schools, which we are all familiar with, we divide up into our own separate classes where we can conduct these classes in the most beneficial way for the residents that we know. These classes have in the past ranged from something of the simplicity of coloring and handcrafts to involve theological questions. One of the teachers last year was confronted by a question on the problem of evil. Well, if God is a good God, then why do we have evil in the world? How many of you have been faced with that question even in your own churches? There is an abundance of audio and visual aid equipment that you can use to present the nature of God to these residents. Or possibly one nature walk might mean more to these people than a semester of word lessons. The classes range from 9-year-olds on up through elderly adults. And there's a place for you and a service that you can perform. And do not think for one moment that this is a one-way relationship, for the experience alone makes it invaluable. And the joy of this service is beyond measure. We will be going the first time this year, September the 19th. This will be an opportunity for those of you who would like to teach to become acquainted with the students, to get to know them, and to learn what they need. If you can participate and work with us in this program, please see Miss Lida Henderson or me as soon as possible, and we will appreciate this service that you can perform.
The nervousness that I have this morning is from the walk. I'm not used to walking this much. But it is a privilege to share with you something about the prison situation and the opportunities that we have. This fall in television, we have 98% in color on one of the channels, or one of the networks. Television has used prison stories many times. There's always a sense of excitement about a prison situation. Even a prison visit. For instance, some people will go to the prison, and as you come up to the prison, you will see a gate, and this gate is barred. A guard is in a tower, and he, of course, has his guns with him, not the six-shooter, but the rifle. You are asked to identify yourself, and after which, you can proceed into the inner courtyard. There, for some unknown reason, we always laugh at this, but they come out and they check the trunk of your car to see if someone, or if it's unlocked, that someone may get into it when you leave. Then they look underneath the car. How anyone can escape like this, I do not know, because my car is so beat up anyway, it's not room to get under. But they will check this. Then this is the beginning. You go into a hallway and you are asked to sign in as to name and where you're from and your business. Once this is taken care of, you still have to go through 4 or 5 gates And each time you are let into one door, and you must remain there while they lock the one behind you. You say, this is fiction. This is television. This is a Broadway production. But this is Central Prison in Raleigh, North Carolina. Every second and fourth Sunday, you will find yourself in the very same situation as you enter the prison. Then once you are inside, they have a huge courtyard. Suppose, for instance, this chapel is the courtyard. And in the middle, hundreds of prisoners are milling around, but in the middle is a witness for Jesus Christ. There's a beautiful chapel. This is a beautiful chapel here. And the one in Raleigh in Central Prison is no less beautiful. The prisoners donated the work themselves, and I'm sure it was voluntary. The inside of the chapel is decorated with signs of the early church, beautiful symbols, which I do not at this time know the meaning. But the prisoners did this themselves. And then you go into the prison service. You know, they don't make them go to chapel there. They have a choice. But they do come, not a great deal, but sometimes it will surprise you to look out and to see the number that have slipped away from the courtyard to come into the services. Negro and white join together as they unite to praise the one true God of all men. The services are short. There are songs of praise which the prisoners ring out. There are prayers, and we bow before God together in penitence and in thanksgiving and in faith. The message is proclaimed, and yes, amens ring out in the chapel if you say something worthwhile. Many times, many of us, like myself, real quiet when I preach. The service ended. We are escorted down the center aisle. The prisoners are not allowed to go with us. We are first led out, and then they come out and we can talk with them. They share with us outside the chapel, standing in the eyes of those who did not attend as they watch. They tell us of their hopes when they get out of prison. And guess what? There are preachers in prison. Because I know of three or four that have said, I was once a preacher. Or when I get out of here, I will be a preacher. My brother's a preacher. Of course, the chaplain has told us that many of them have not been ordained into the ministry, that some have ordained themselves, so to speak. We talk with them, and they give gifts to some of the wives of the students to show their appreciation. Many just come and shake your hand. And this is one great way of a feeling of warmth that they have for us. And now comes the trying time. We go back through a series of doors, and we find ourselves standing not in a beautiful chapel, but with flocks, with numbers of cubicles in which a man must live, some for life, some for years, and some because they have acted up and they could not do anything with them. We go out onto a sort of a catwalk, and there are three sections, three rows of individual cells. And you never know what to expect. Sometimes there's a sullenness about the prisoners. I notice this especially during the hot weather when this gets to all of us. At other times there is amiable conversation. At other times there are oaths as they curse. And they, some try to make as much noise as possible as you preach. And yet you look out and there are those that have their faces up against the bars as they are listening. as they listen to those who come to sing. You have no accompaniment. You have no one to play. No organ, no piano. You simply sing to give your testimony. And there are those that do hear and listen. And I'm sure that God works in this. Then we are escorted out of the prison the same way that we came in. In Romans we read, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are men to call upon in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. But that they have not all heeded the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ." The guards are the only ones that can use the keys to unlock the metal bars to allow the prisoners to walk out into freedom. Jesus Christ is the key that can unlock the prison of self and sin. And you and I are proclaimers of the Christian message. And the opportunity is so easy. It's there. It's been worked out. This is our opportunity to go. I hope and pray that you will see Miss Lyda Henderson or myself and go with us. We'll go twice monthly, second and fourth Sundays. And if you would like to go simply to observe first, you may go and meet in front of the cafeteria at 8 a.m. each second and fourth Sunday.
These are your opportunities to serve. And you have met the ones that you're to contact if you're interested. Other opportunities may be established if interest is shown and if workers are available. Last year, a program of counseling at the prison in Raleigh had to be abandoned because the qualified people didn't have the time. This program could be revived if you want it to be. In the past, teams from Southeastern have led religious emphasis weeks at various high schools. Thus far this year, we have one request from a school in Virginia. You can help two ways here. You can let us know if you're interested in serving on a team, and you can let the schools in your church communities know that our program is available. These are days of preparation, but they are also days of service, even now. We have sung, for not with swords loud clashing or roll of stirring drums, with deeds of love and mercy thy heavenly kingdom comes. Let's stand now and sing the last stanza of Lead On, O King Eternal, 417.
Peace And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always.